Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word that calls us to be your people. Your word that challenges us to speak your challenge, your word. Your word that comforts and gives us the courage to say what needs to be said. May we hear it, may we trust it, may we believe it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Henry Augustus Rowland, professor of physics at Johns Hopkins University, was once called as an expert witness at a trial. During cross-examination, a lawyer demanded, "What are your qualifications as an expert witness in this case?" Now, this normally modest and retiring professor replied quietly, "I am the greatest living expert on the subject under discussion." Later, a friend well acquainted with Rowland's disposition expressed surprise at the professor's uncharacteristic answer. And Rowland answered, "Well, what did you expect me to do? I was under oath." The truth is, or I should say the truth itself, sometimes seems to be slipping right through our fingers, especially in our days today. Everywhere we look, we see people making up their own truth. Facts don't seem to matter anymore, which is kind of interesting, as if they believe that we can't get the facts when we live in a computer age where we have the internet and the World Wide Web, and all you have to do is go online, Google something, and you got the facts like that. I wanted to get some thoughts about Martin Luther King Jr. about prophetic speaking for a sermon. I went online, I Googled MLK, prophetic speaking, and I had pages and pages of information. Today, on this Sunday of Martin Luther King weekend, I'm taking my cue from John the Baptist in our Gospel of John passage. John is a prophet. Jesus saw John as a prophet. And in our passage today, we heard the following. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And so on and so on. As I said just a few minutes ago, John is always pointing to Jesus. And that is what prophetic speaking or prophetic witness is all about. Speaking the truth about God and Jesus, or speaking the truth that is God and Jesus, but not just when it's easy. We think about John the Baptist again. In Matthew, we hear the following. "But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, "We have Abraham as our ancestor." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." And then he talks about how Jesus is going to clear the threshing floor and burn the chaff with an unquenchable fire. John does not hold back his message, his words, out of fear. You don't normally talk to Pharisees and Sadducees that way in that time. But he did. In Matthew chapter 14, we hear the following account. At that time, Herod the ruler heard reports about Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are out at work, are at work in him." For Herod had arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on the account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been telling him it's not lawful for him to have her. Though Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd because they regarded him as a prophet. In other words, Herod wanted his brother's wife, and so he took her, Herodias, to be his wife. And John said, no, that's wrong. You don't tell the king of Israel that he's wrong. But John did. Prophetic voices speak the truth even when it is uncomfortable. Truth-telling is not just for when the truth won't bother us or others. But I think we live in a day when that's the prevailing belief. I'll tell the truth, except unless it might incriminate me, then I won't. I think we can look to Martin Luther King to get some ideas as to what prophetic speaking is all about. I should say Junior, but I'm talking about Junior, not Dad. First, there is a sense of call. A call to speak. Do you believe that you are the one to share this truth? Tony Hunt, in a piece entitled Martin Luther King Jr.'s Four Key Principles of Prophetic Witness, shares the following. Early in his ministry, King concluded that becoming one of the prophetic public voices of the civil rights movement was indeed a part of his vocation and calling, first in Alabama and then beyond. So King had this sense deep within him that this was something he was being called to deal with. And when we have those times where we feel like something is wrong, something's not right, is that a call for us to speak up? And then there must be conviction. So we have call, and then there must be conviction. And it must come from deep within us. Such a conviction that we believe, profoundly believe, that something needs to be corrected. That whatever is not right needs to be made right. Again, Hunt writes, King believed that all persons were created by God with inherent worth. Accordingly, human dignity and social justice for all are moral imperatives. King consistently affirmed the somebody-ness of all people, regardless of race, class, or other categories. Ultimately, these faith convictions undergirded his prophetic witness. So he had this sense of a call that something was troubling him, and he had the conviction that he needed to speak what he believed about what was wrong. And then the third is courage. The courage to speak your truth in the face of anger, in the face of people who strongly disagree with you, in the face of people who might even hurt you. Hunt writes, interestingly, Martin Luther King carried with him theologian Paul Tillich's book, The Courage to Be, as he traveled providing leadership to the civil rights movement. Courage to act on one's call and convictions means being willing to risk oneself, one's popularity, promotion, and associations for the sake of causes you are called and convicted to address prophetically. And I think of those. I think of John. I think of Jesus. Jesus had a sense of call. Jesus had the conviction that things needed to be done differently. And he had the courage to stand up and speak it. Even when he was on trial by the high priest, the temple authorities, and by Pilate. So we have call, conviction, courage, and the last is commitment. We need to be committed to pursuing justice however long it takes. We've all been hearing more and more lately King's words, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. And we know this. Because the civil rights movement was a big movement that changed a lot of things. But we're finding out now that it didn't change as much as we thought it had changed. And therefore that arc is still bending, but it appears to be bending towards justice as more and more people are speaking out against racism. It's bending for justice for blacks as well as gays and Muslims and Jews and others. The fight is ongoing. And we have all seen white supremacy, anti-Jewish and anti-Muslim sentiments rise in the past several years. And now more than ever, we need to remain committed to providing a Christian prophetic witness that demands justice for those who are being attacked, demeaned, and made to feel less than human. We need a prophetic witness of each person to find their call, to speak from their convictions with courage, and to have the commitment to keep doing it as long as it needs to be done. But there's still one component that Hunt doesn't mention, that I think is very important. I think Martin Luther King thought it was very important, and I know that Jesus thought it was important. And that one component is love. We cannot prophetically witness to our Christian convictions if we don't love those we are witnessing to or against. We cannot say that we are right when we tell others, as I've read people saying online, you should just die. We cannot rightfully love people and share our prophetic witness if we say people should crawl back under the rock out of which they came from under. Which people say. We are not loving in our witness if we belittle others. Jesus never belittled others. He got angry with them, sure. But he never treated them less than human persons. Not even the temple authorities, not even Pilate. Martin Luther King did not call for the eradication of white people, while some in his time were calling for that. Rather, he called for all people to be lifted up as equals. So if we can have the courage and the conviction to be truth tellers when it's uncomfortable, then we may have the commitment to speak the truth for as long as the arc of the moral universe is. And so my prayer for us today on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend is that we do that, that we claim that commitment, that call, that courage. Because our country and the world so desperately needs it. We need John the Baptist-like people, willing to speak up and stand for the justice of all people, to speak truth, the power. Amen.